I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Tonight we introduce you to Godless. Before we get to it, we love it when you call, but we don't have a number, so email instead. The email address is studio@theboxsetpod.com. Last week I read out a note from Pete who said he'd watched Dexter on our recommendation, to which we expressed surprise. Nay, we laughed at Pete because our Dexter special, including me going to Dexter's house in Miami, was about 4 years ago. One of our first podcasts. So we commented that it might take 4 years for Pete to hear us reading his email out by the time he catches up with the podcast. Well, Pete kindly emailed back. Pete listens to the podcast in the way that it's supposed to be listened to, just in any old order.
Oh, fantastic.
Hello again. Thanks for the mention in the last podcast. I do listen pretty much every week and have been with you since the beginning. It's just I store up your recommendations and I have a gap in my viewing. Although I've watched other series you've talked about, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Sopranos, etc., Dexter was one which I would not have bothered with without your discussion.
Yes.
Still got to start Better Call Saul and Fear the Walking Dead, etc. Don't worry about reading this out, though. Too late, Pete. Did it.
There you go, Pete. And taking names and changing lives.
And, Pete, I would love it if you forget Fear the Walking Dead. Instead, if you watched the Gilmore Girls, just start on that journey. I promise you it's the gift that keeps on giving, although it doesn't appear to be much of a gift at first. It's great. It's great. Second notice of the day. We know that The Walking Dead is back. And yes, as of next week, we will be talking episode by episode of the second half of season 8 once more. Apologies to those who don't watch The Walking Dead. On the other hand, you can easily watch every episode of the 100 plus in the next couple of weeks to catch up and join us. If not, just go back and listen to any of our other many episodes. They are as timeless as Michael Bublé. Did you miss the fact that it was coming back on, Jamie?
I missed that it started this week, yes, yeah. Granted. Yeah, but that's... I knew it was back imminently because I was seeing a lot of social media action. I just wasn't reading it. So, there we go.
Obviously, Rupert Murdoch and Fox in Britain didn't think that it was worth promoting because the first part of this series, the first half of season 8, you couldn't move for billboards.
Yeah.
Billboards everywhere for it. This time, it passed us by completely. Even if I do look at social media, I missed the fact that The Walking Dead was back. America is laughing at us.
Well, they won't be laughing when we start reviewing again.
That's
and
right.
Giving our scathing, rapier and insightful opinion on a week-by-week basis of the remaining 8 episodes of Walking Dead Season 8 from next week.
That's right. Now on to Godless. Starring him
Godless.
From Dumb and Dumber and him from The Newsroom and Grace
Jeff
and
Daniels.
And from Nurse Jackie and Walking Dead.
Michelle Dockery. And she's not from... you're right, actually. She's, yeah, you're talking about... Merritt Weaver, Howell.
Merritt Weaver, the best name in show business.
And one of the most underrated actresses around
really?
These days.
Really?
Anything that she's in, she's brilliant in.
Yeah, she needs our support. Let's set up a crowdfunding for her because she's only been in the whole of Nurse Jackie, The Walking Dead, and Godless. She's really struggling, isn't she?
Save Merritt Weaver.
It's a limited series, which means long episodes and just a few of them. And if you've never joined us before, my name's Howell, this is Jamie, and we're on Skype with each other about 30 miles away. We're at different points of Godless, I believe. I'm almost at episode 4, Jamie.
I'm at episode... I've finished it.
You finished it.
Yes.
Well, listen, I think I'm going to disappoint you this week. It's probably a good thing
Howell.
It's probably a good thing that Matt isn't here.
Right, okay. So, all right, why don't you explain the plot of Godless, Howell?
This is one of my problems with it. Not that it's not easy to explain. So there's imagine a bunch of baddies that ride around the desert with him from Dumb and Dumber as the leader. One of his pack who, hijack trains and kill entire villages of people, general hoodlums. One of his pack doesn't like being part of the hoodlum gang anymore.
Yeah, he turns against him.
And rides away into the sunset with a couple of horses.
And some of his money.
He chases him down. The whole pack of wolves start to chase this black sheep. And in the process, Jeff Daniels gets shot in the arm. Meanwhile, there is a village where all the men have died. Only the women are left after a mining disaster. Merritt Weaver is there. There's a couple of men left. One of them's the sheriff. The sheriff is going out in search of the one called John that escaped from Jeff Daniels. Is that right? Or is he going out in search of Jeff Daniels?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Eventually.
You're getting the simple version of the plot here is that Roy, this guy who's a member of this badass gang,
Roy, not John.
Betrays Frank, the leader of the gang played by Jeff Daniels, and takes his money and runs away. He gets shot, Frank gets shot. Roy ends up getting salvation in this small town of La Belle, and Frank spends the entire series pretty much trying to hunt down his the man who's betrayed him, the ex-member of his gang, Roy, whilst the town, and in the town, the sheriff also wants to hunt down Frank as well because he hears that he's on the warpath and his group of men are pretty awful, the terrible people. So that's the basic plot. It's just it's a chase kind of, it's a hunting down Western, brutal, gripping, in a destructive environment, in a tough world to live in. You're watching this drama unfold in a town where only women are now living as all the men die during a mining accident.
I've said that.
That's the setup. Yeah, I'm just trying to, work my way around. Okay, yeah. There you go. That's the setup.
All right. So.
What is your problem? First of all, let's
you
just
loved
say,
it, yeah.
I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
So
it is
did
the
my
best
dad.
Thing that your dad liked it. Reese Evans, I salute you, sir.
So do a lot of people.
It's got an amazing cast. Jeff Daniels is brilliant as the bad guy in this. Mm. He's got one arm and he's got a long beard and a menacing gurn on him. Jack O'Connell is one of my favourite actors around these days. If you want to know how good an actor Jack O'Connell is, he plays the main protagonist, Howard Roy Good. Mm-hmm. If you want to know how good this guy is, watch the film called Starred Up. And after you've watched that film, you'll realise he's one of the most talented young actors in the business.
Is it possible?
And I think he's brilliant.
You were bringing your love of him into this.
No. No, Howell. I was sceptical I'd like this at all. I also want to mention Michelle Dockery from, of course, Downton Abbey, who does a very, very passable American ranch owner's impression. Scoot McNairy, a brilliant... He plays the sheriff, Howell Scoot, who's a sheriff that's going blind, whose wife has died and has lost his shadow, at least he's lost this feeling.
And
I guess it's mojo.
And the little drummer boy from Love Actually plays his deputy.
Plays his deputy Whitey, plays the character called White. He's very good in it. He's also been in Game of Thrones and other things. It's a really good cast. It's also written by a gentleman by the name of... I've forgotten his name. Hold on a minute. It's Scott Frank. Scott Frank is currently Oscar nominated for the Wolverine film, Logan. Mm. And he's a very talented writer. Correct. And I think he's done an incredible job creating and showrunning this limited series that I wouldn't actually be surprised if it's not limited, as it comes back in some other form at some point.
Just
but, yeah.
So slow.
Oh, how...
Oh, my Lord.
What? Is that... Really? Are you not... Right, first of all, the world is so... It's so immersive being within that Western world, especially when the weather's so absolutely dog shit around us at the moment. Mm. You go out to the hot desert country of the American outback, and
outback, yeah.
And you're out there on the horses, watching the riding across the plains, the dust in the faces.
Yeah.
I mean, what about that is not a great setup to sort of... And we don't get enough brilliant Westerns these days.
John
and
Wayne.
And this Lonesome Dove.
In the length that it takes for the pilot of this, John Wayne would have gone into a town, sorted it all out, chased down a couple of bad guys, won and got the girl, and then ridden off into the sunset. That's my problem. I don't doubt that it's made by excellent people. Like, it is. It seems to ooze that. It seems to rely on that. Let me run something past you, because this seems to be a common theme in my last few months, really, of commenting on things, is pace, right?
And yeah, you do get stuck on this, don't you?
Well, I think it's because I'm just, ahead of the rest of the world.
That's
on
it,
anything.
Right.
Because of my great arrogance and insecurity, I always like to quote others. And I was listening to Joe Cornish. Wait, tell everyone who Joe Cornish is, Jamie.
He is the director of Attack the Block and one half of the comedy duo Adam and Joe.
And writer of Tintin, friends of Spielberg and Tom Cruise and the likes now, you know, quit Ant-Man because things didn't go the correct way. And I think he's got... Would you agree he's got great sort of taste and generally...
He's got good taste, I suppose.
Well, I think him and Joe have got very good... they're mates with Louis Theroux. They've got very almost academic. They've got a very good view on entertainment and structure and writing and things like that.
Well, to an extent,
you stop trying to do his dance before I use him. Of course, they have. At Christmas, on Adam and Joe always do a podcast at Christmas, special podcast, and so he said something that kind of annoyed me at the time, and it only popped back into my head this week when I was thinking about this and how I didn't want to come on the podcast and just wee on everyone's chips. He commented on how Stranger Things, he said, plots, right, how much actually happens, how much does the story actually move forward in an episode of Stranger Things, right? Now, I balked at it slightly because I thought, don't you dare attack Stranger Things. I love it. I love going into that world, and like you've just said about Godless. But it is a fair point to make that we, as part of the freedom that comes with Netflix, and whilst they're making some very popular stuff, when you watch something like The Good Place now, or when you watch those things which are kind of seemingly made now a little bit more for populism, and then you look at stuff like the OA and the big slow burner stuff, or especially bloody Handmaid's Tale, and you go, in the length of time that Hollywood in the 40s would have told a great story, the plot has moved on an inch maximum.
Yeah, I mean, my problem with this argument is that I don't think the pace the movement of the plot is a problem if something is good. Like, I don't believe that you notice those things or you care about those things if you're enjoying being within something and learning about the characters. And so if your argument is that it's just slow, then what your real issue is you're not actually enjoying the storytelling and the characters enough.
No.
So that you're noticing how slow things are. Like, for me, the difference is I'm enjoying the slowness because I'm enjoying the world.
Yeah.
So for me, the storytelling's working. So your issue really is with sort of storytelling itself rather than the pace, isn't it?
Yes. And with every other world that we've talked about where you enjoy being immersed in it, I think plots move on quicker. Even The Walking Dead, which can be so pedestrian, I think there's still, maybe not the series when they were all walking around as disparate groups perhaps, but generally stuff still moves on. It's like, I really want, like, for example, there's the scene when all the women are around the table and the guy comes from the mining company to try and get them to sign a deal.
Yeah.
That's great.
Great scene.
Brilliant scene. And then there's this whole sequence, a woman from the ranch goes back to get him. I'm trying not to give anything away here, but she goes back to get him and take him back. And it's like, oh, now, where's she taking him? Oh, she's just taking him to the ranch. So essentially, we've seen someone do something that for 3 minutes was very exciting because it involved keys and jails and guns for 3 minutes. But the rest of it, all we've got to, with all the stuff surrounding it in maybe 10 minutes, is Someone's gone to look after some horses.
What? No. What bit are you talking about? The bit where they go to take him back to the prison cell?
No, I'm beyond season episode one here. When she goes and gets him.
When she goes to get him out of the prison cell?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So it's like exciting bits, but the whole thing could be 21 minutes. You could cover the same ground in 21 minutes. Like, it's a Western. Yeah, I love being in that world. It's a Western. But I really want it to kick off. I really want stuff to just rattle along a bit more.
I just think you're not just enjoying getting to know what's going on in this world. Like, this isn't trying to, like, there are plenty of shows. There are plenty of shows that do fast-paced, constant action, non-stop plot movement. You know, there's a lot of stuff that does that. That's been done to death, you know, that we know how that works.
Yeah, but there's a difference, it doesn't have to be first gear or fifth gear. I mean, I'll settle for third. Sometimes I feel the ones that have got the right to drive in fifth just stay in fifth. And I'm like, come on.
I don't know. Yeah, but are you not captivated by the relationships that are sort of brewing between characters?
Nope.
Do you not want to know more about Roy's relationship, why he betrayed Frank, about where Frank's come from?
Nope.
Have you got to the... that's the problem then, isn't it, Howard? It's not the things aren't moving quick enough. It's that you don't care enough about the characters. I cared immediately. I wanted to know more about Roy and Frank. I wanted to see what happened to Michelle Dockery's character, Alice, that ended up with a ranch on her own. I wanted to find out what was going to happen with Merritt Weaver and this woman that she's in love with. I mean, there's a real... And I also wanted to find out how the sheriff...
Oh, sorry.
...when he's lost his shadow on his sight, if it does come about. The point is, I cared and you didn't.
I mean, I don't know how... To a degree. We've just got Adam Comstiff on... No,
great,
Adam.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hello.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, friends.
Hi, Adam.
And hello, Adam.
No time for niceties or even explanation. We've done all the groundwork here. You are jumping on the bus last minute.
Wow. Well, let me give you a quick.
No,
recap,
the bus is moving. No, don't recap. Don't recap, Jamie.
Let's
just see where he's up to without judgment calls.
Okay. All
right. How far through Godless are you?
Completed.
Okay, so I'm taking it that you are a fan.
A fan enough to watch it all, yeah.
Okay, and what do you think?
Oh right, we're straight into it then. I'm on board. I liked it a lot.
Any criticisms of it? Any overall criticisms of it?
Plenty of nitpicking. Plenty of reasons why I perhaps wouldn't recommend it to everyone.
Yeah.
But, overall liked it. I thought the pace of it was good. I actually read recently that it was supposed to be a film that got stretched out to a sort of seven-hour thing.
Should have been a film.
Could have been a great two-hour film. Yeah. Would have been a terrible 12-part series. I think they kind of got it right. I think there was enough bits in those characters and enough strong performances to sort of pull out the plot lines and develop it nicely. I thought it was really good. I thought it looked spectacular.
Can you hear that's me applauding right now?
Brilliant. Thanks.
I think that
I've missed being on with you. I think it looked great. I think performances were good. I think it was hit lots of the things you want from a Western. I'm not a massive Western fan, but I think the obvious comparison with this is probably Deadwood in terms of the tone and the way you begin to feel about some of those characters and the sort of sharpness of some of the writing there. And I hate to come across sort of prudish, but my only beef with it was some of the violence and the way it was deployed for sort of shock value.
Ooh.
I don't know if you started talking about particular sort of scenes
I doubt I'm that far through yet, but.
Well, there were some quite immediately from the beginning.
I'm just going to say I was set off on I don't know if you started sort of talking about the first episode yet or the opening scene.
Oh, but yeah.
But that opening scene, that pre-credit sequence where you see the wreckage, the sort of the results of an attack on a town, with posse riding into town, discovering the horror of whatever's gone wrong, and you're trying to piece together in your head what's happened, and with that particularly graphic shot of a child hung, and you think, God, what is this? I am not ready for this. I was turned off, not out of a sense of sort of prurience or anything like that, but just of a, I am not ready for this. This is going to beat me. And it doesn't. It's not full of laughs or anything like that, but it is not as heavy as some of those scenes make you think it's going to be.
I could
throw it in for shock value rather than to actually, you know, to communicate the mood and the sort of themes of the show. And it's not entirely necessary.
No, I'd agree with that. I had the same reaction. We had the same view, Lauren, when I watched it with my wife. She, we were both like, oh, do we want to watch this after that initial opening sequence? And there are a few little moments within the show where it does feel like it's just trying to get you go, oh, look, it's brutal, this world again. And it really kind of overkills that moment in a way. And I do agree that it doesn't need that. Doesn't need to go to those extents.
Funny. Affects viewing, doesn't it?
Yeah. If you watched all of it, Jamie, then sorry.
And I agree.
One episode.
Great.
No, I'm up to somewhere around four at the moment. Either just before four or just into four, and I credit it with all of the. I just think it's unbelievably slow. Yeah.
Powell thinks it's slow. He doesn't care about the characters.
I think in 1 hour, the plot moves on by, you know, three bullet points that an average film, certainly a film, would cover really quickly. And I'm really glad that you both enjoy it and that my dad loves it. I'm glad that everybody enjoys it. And I don't think that...
I've heard you sound sort of not genuine about a number of things in your life, but that's really up there. You don't sound glad for us at all.
Of course I am. I'm trying not to just wee all over it, and it's obviously it's my problem because this is a highly rated thing. But I will
go ahead.
The one other time that I've really felt like this, and I know I've mentioned pace on so many things recently, but the one, my top two annoyances with pace have been Thingamabob, Jamie. Jesus.
I missed that.
Mentioned it before.
Handmaid's Tale
and this. And in both cases, I was not aware. Like, it made total sense to me when I was told with Handmaid's Tale that it's a book and they have stretched out the first series massively so that it doesn't cover the whole book. And with this one, I am not surprised in the slightest that it was going to be a film. We are, you know, not to take away from anyone's enjoyment because you've enjoyed entering that pace, but it backs up my point that it totally felt to me like I was watching a film in slow motion and I was going, come on, get fucking on with it. 1 hour, an episode, and we have moved on in 3 hours. We have got as far as the exposition. We've just got the inciting action of the sheriff leaving town to go and hunt. That's the moment when the story begins in a film. And whilst all the scenes have been wonderful, and well, not all the scenes, but a lot of the scenes have been great and interesting, it's just not held me enough. It's not, you know, I feel like they've taken, again, it's an example of where they're going, we do not make money out of one series anymore. It has to be more than one series. Or we want to make something longer than a movie, and so we'll turn it into this huge, epic thing. Well, in which case, do that. But give us, why don't you times the plot by six as well, you know? Why can't you create all that but move it along as well?
To me, it feels like if it was going to have been a film, they wouldn't have been able to develop all the characters.
I agree.
And you'd have been left with loads and loads of questions.
Yeah.
Around
time to
how the town got to be the way it was, why Jeff Daniels' character is how he is. You know, there's still stuff that they leave, but I, again, I kind of think it, trying to remember the ending. Yeah, the end, I think it works as a story. I'm not left there like the example you always used around Big Little Lies with that, oh, they're going to do another series. Why am I going to have to start this all over again?
Yeah.
Sort of frustration with it. It feels like that is a story. That is a Western-style story of a guy and another guy and a girl and this other guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Not really. Summed that all very well. That's it. Here's their story arc. It's done at, you know, at a TV pace, at a sort of luxurious TV pace. But I've been frustrated by shows like that, but not for ones you've mentioned. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. This,
in that case, the pace
of it and slow plot felt like it reflected that kind of vast trudging across the West where stuff is going to take days for you to get anywhere and they're not going to shortcut it. It's not going to be, oh, this guy sets off and then in the next scene, whew, that was a ride and then here's a gunfight. You know, it actually is slow. You've got that frontier pace of following people's footsteps and going through mountains while life is going on. And then all of a sudden, death comes really quickly to major characters at a moment's notice. And all these characters are walking around like, well, this is a horrible place. We're godless and fearless. And anything could happen to us at any moment, but it doesn't. And it's waiting for things to happen.
Put a full stop in one of your sentences, Adam. Do you listen back to these podcasts? I do. I hate myself. Do you ever listen to yourself back and go, put a full stop
in? No, I do. I listen back and I hate you too.
Can I just say, though, in amongst that that conversation, there was a really good point Adam made, and it's about the waiting, and it's so true that a lot of what is so good about this is the waiting. Go on, Howie, you can go now.
I can imagine that there's a long build up to, and those moments will have great effect when they happen. It's just I'm so aware that that's what they're doing. The end of Big Little Lies I wasn't annoyed. That was just annoying because it was like a coming soon thing. That was just a hacky device. Whereas what I'm talking about is the feeling of like you've been given more, so do more. Rather than you've been given more and like it's not one or the other. You can have really good character exposition, but also have the inciting action happen in the first friggin' episode. Like it's amazing to use 60 minutes of a story without
the thing that I find weird is that I never for once felt like you're describing how, like, not even for once. Like there are sometimes in Handmaid's Tale where I felt exactly like you did. Mm. But during this, I never at one moment got, God, this is so slow, this plot. It never got me like that. I was interested in the world and the characters, and I wanted to understand more about the relationships and the journeys they were on from the very start to the end.
The problem is that I'm a shareholder in Netflix. That's the problem. That I'm worried about the future of the business. And I can foresee... Have you seen any of the shite films that they've made on there? Did anyone try and watch The Christmas Prince?
No.
Have
you never even heard of that.
Oh, my God. Just get up.
Came up on your... recommendations.
Play a game.
Based on your view.
I think it's called The Christmas Prince. Play a game with yourself. How many minutes can you last? I bet it's not double figures of The Christmas Prince, right? And they're releasing stuff now. They've realised... Like,
is it that good?
Oh my! We mentioned a few years ago, didn't we? That I think it was an intelligentsia thing, Netflix, and it's going to take people who watch normal telly and watch Coronation Street a long time to get to it. They, I think, have realised that, and they're making a lot of populist stuff and rom coms, and they're putting loads of stuff on there that's for everybody. The problem is that I can see there's this divide.
Says disdainfully.
No, it's great.
For everybody, this show.
That's great, and some of it's fantastic. Look at The Good Place, for example. You know, brilliant. 21 minutes.
Oh,
of
did
just
you finally get onto it?
Amazing. Just crackerjack stuff. And that's a really good example of a really smart thing being done at a hell of a pace, at a kind of network pace. And when they do the stuff, when they're given the liberties of something like Godless, I just can't help thinking, God, you could get so many more people on board of this if you didn't just sit back on your cowboy laurels and mosey on over the desert for so long. It's even the Coen brothers go quicker than this. The Coen brothers can rattle out a story quicker than this.
Well, not over the... They didn't actually write the Fargo series, did they? But that's for comparison rather than the film.
Yeah, that's a good
comparison.
I guess the
Coen brothers done the TV series yet?
I just mean self-indulgent storytellers can move quickly. And the Fargo TV series is the best example of what I'm talking about. There, you get into a world, you get into the characters, everything. But the plot moves on a lot every episode.
I'll give you 10 points for spotting the link between Godless and the Fargo TV series.
In the cast. Damn it.
10 points, this.
You're going, No one wants these points. Scoot McNairy, the sheriff in Godless, is the guy in series 3 of Fargo. We've talked about it. Is it a spoiler?
Yeah,
it's the guy who was hired
to do
a job.
Yes.
Nice. Totally unrecognizable, I thought.
Yeah, definitely.
But
he's a great, he's a really good actor.
Great. Yeah.
Well, Scoot McNairy, you'll see, once you realise who he is, you'll see him in loads of stuff, and he's a really good character actor, Scoot McNairy. He's been in loads of really interesting films. Yeah. And he's going to be in the new series of True Detective as well, which will be interesting. That's out next year. Howell, I think you're wrong. Yeah. I think you brought your own baggage with your Netflix shares.
Arguing for less art content. You're arguing for more crowd-pleasing, fast-paced.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. With great power comes great responsibility. We saw it. If I use a completely different example so that I can turn the sword on myself, we saw with the Gilmore Girls revival on Netflix the freedom with which the brilliant writers of the Gilmore Girls, Amy Sherman-Palladino and Daniel Palladino, they're brilliant writers and they're very, very funny. But the freedom with which they were given led to three or four things which are just ludicrous. There's a 12-minute musical in the middle of one of the episodes which has no main characters involved in it. You just watch a musical. And it's very funny, but it's like, you know, like a Family Guy aside. It's like that, but it lasts for 12 minutes.
And it sounds great.
Yeah, and it is on its own.
But,
if you watch
also
just
sort of
musical,
like
it's
what
great.
Shows like Buffy did 20 years ago, even, and that's not incompatible with having a sort of responsibility to an audience, is it?
What did Buffy do?
Have an entire musical episode. Have an entirely silent
episode.
To do that sort of...
Not a musical episode, kind a of musical in a town hall that we watched for 12 minutes. 12 minutes, I bet you...
Oh, okay.
With no main characters. And it's just that thing of writers and the super talented, brilliant people with super high budgets and great casts. I still watch, and some stuff I can watch and just love, like Fargo, I can love every second of it, and that's an artistic, brilliant thing. I can recognise that this is an artistic, brilliant thing, but I'm sat there with trying to give it such heart. I'm really trying, and every inch of me is going, oh, just get on with it. Get John Wayne in there. Sort it out.
And you know what the thing is, Howell? John Wayne was in a lot of slow westerns. If you ever watched The Searchers, he spent the entire film trying to find his missing niece.
That's right.
And you know, this is what a lot of westerns do. They have the slow burn.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen High Noon, the whole film is waiting for a train to arrive.
That's right.
You know, this is what westerns do, and it's part of that culture. And I just don't think this is a genre that you're meant to enjoy, is it, Howell?
I love a good Western, and The Searchers is 1 hour 59.
Really?
So in 2 hours, they told that whole very slow story. In 2 hours of Godless, I think a man has been found on a ranch with some horses.
Oh, can we just take a moment, completely off, well, not entirely off topic, to appreciate the horse acting
great
in
horse.
This series?
Oh, fantastic.
Honestly, keep watching for the horse acting, Howl.
I almost went down to the local stables and just tried tickling a horse's ear to see if I could see it drop to the floor. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, how they hit their marks. There's a point where a whole load of them just look up to the camera and then walk towards it, like giving it blue steel. The horse. I honestly would love to see something with better horse acting.
Got such a good.
You know, during the slow moments, I think they put in, give the horses some screen time.
Yeah.
But then, absolute socks off.
About
guys.
6 months ago, I was at Universal Studios in Los Angeles watching a show about the animal handlers. And it's like this, you know, you sit down in a crowd and they bring out all these animals that have been in films and they're all doing tricks and they put music on. And then an eagle flies into the audience and lands on someone's head and all that. And it gives you a newfound respect for the people in charge of those horses on that set. That is a big job. Getting them to lie down and all of that is fantastic.
I've got the distinct feeling that people were not in charge of those horses. I think horses were definitely in charge there.
And by the way, the highlight of that show was where a group of guinea pigs almost brought the entire show to a standstill because they refused to run across the stage. Possibly my favourite moment of anything I've ever seen in my life was these guinea pigs that were sort of shoved on and just meandered around looking at each other, and then all of a sudden one of them ran and the others went single file across an entire stage after each other. who knew
Listen, Howell, let's just say this: if you're waiting for things to happen, they are going to happen. Good. And a lot's going to happen. Good. And it's going to be very dramatic. Good. So at least stick it out, and then at the end of the seven, see if you can rearrange the thoughts in your head into something more, you know, positive towards the show. Because once you've been on the entire journey, you might appreciate the slower moments a bit more.
I'll tell you this, now the sheriff is on his mission, I am interested. And if they'd have done that from minute one, if they'd have had that running while we had all of the other scenes, if he didn't have to be involved in the other scenes earlier, but like the town meeting and all of that stuff, that would have done it for me. It's just purely the director in me going, I'm bored, move it, fucking bored.
What Netflix series did you direct again?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You
could probably do, you know, a 2 hours of just Sheriff on his hunt. You could probably do 2 hours of just how Roy joined and left the gang. You could do 2 hours of what happened in the mine and why the women are on their own. Like, there's enough separate plot lines there, I think, to warrant spreading it out, keeping that style and that pace. I'm wondering, were you saying in last week's pod that you'd been recommended this a lot, so are you carrying some of that, I don't like to be told what to like, angst into it? And,
is that grinding your gears?
Yeah.
maybe, but no, I don't think so. Like, I watch everything.
You just don't want to like what Reese Evans likes.
No, not at all. I genuinely want the best for everything, and it only comes out of, really, the only notes I ever give about stuff is what I feel is missing. You know, I never just go, oh, this is a bag of shit that is for plebs or something. I can watch anything and enjoy it, but it's like whether you're telling a story around a campfire for people, or in a pub, or in a theatre, or writing a book, pace has been true since the beginning of time, that those storytellers that accept that the audience could get up and leave, I think, for me, suit me more. Whereas if I go and watch an opera and or a presentation of Mozart with the type of audience that is a captive audience that isn't going to make a sound beyond their sweet wrappers and will sit there for the duration and not get up and leave, those things annoy me more. Those things that feel like high art have always annoyed me much more, because the audience is just impressed by its grandeur. And the first thing you described, Jamie, was everything about the grandeur of this thing. Whereas Fargo, for me, is grandeur, grandiose, but it also uses all the storytelling devices that keeps, I think anyone, I'd struggle to find anyone who could watch Fargo and go, oh, this is shit.
Yeah, I mean, I like Fargo too, but I just, I'd don't believe that the things you see missing, none of those things were missing for me at all. And you know, believe me, I get annoyed when stuff goes too slow as well. But I never felt that during this show. I never felt lost by the lack of plot. I just enjoyed everything about it. The spectacle and the plot and the characters. Altogether.
Yeah. Maybe I think there's a lot.
Attention deficit disorder or something. It's probably.
I don't find it slow in the way that something like The Returned was slow. I'm not sure I even got through the seconds.
God.
It's not that sort of.
Example.
That is an example of a show that I think, like you were saying, how it insists on itself.
Upon itself, this,
I don't, and again, maybe context is everything. I watched Godless pretty much on a whim. It was just a, you know, an evening of. Let's start something new. There's not been much that's really grabbed me recently. You know, I've not had a drama that I felt really involved with for quite a while. And we just said, let's try this. It was actually this or Altered Carbon a couple of weeks ago. And Godless did enough to bring it back on.
Yeah. Well, you might like Altered Carbon then, because that's another
last night, actually. I've literally just finished that. Waited until I'd finished it to listen back to the pod last week.
Episode, you mean?
Mm. No, Altered Carbon, I've watched it all.
Oh,
already.
Finished it all.
The whole thing?
Yeah, again. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but again...
You were all this week.
You were what?
But in all, every way you said it was good and every way you said it was bad.
Was what?
But again...
I didn't hear your insult. What was it?
There wasn't. I didn't sub you on that one.
You dipped out.
To go back, edit one in.
Yeah. No, just same thing. I think part of it is patience, and it's just if I feel like I'm being explained, I'm a little bit like Donald Trump. If I feel like I'm being explained to, I get bored very quickly. it's like, show me the action. All right, we've met this character. Now we've met this character. And here's another character. Now here's a walk. Now here's another character, and I start to go, I don't know who anybody is anymore. Just show me.
You've sort of made the opposite argument to disparage two separate shows there. You complain that Altered Carbon explains too much to you, so therefore you feel patronised, but that Godless doesn't explain enough or get on with it, so you feel bored.
No, not patronised. Never patronised.
Is anything going to beat Dexter for you, ever?
No,
oh, hang
same,
on, no, what's it? Chuck! Chuck!
It's the same criticism of both. There's just exposition. You start with an exciting scene. This is how you write a Netflix series, everyone. Write an exciting action scene in the first 2 minutes, which has explosions, and then spend 56 minutes explaining exposition and the world. That annoys the shit out of me. I just want to go, get us to the train. Get us to the, you know, the whole Jeff Daniels going in the church on the horse and threatening everyone. Great. It just takes so long to get there. And you're going, okay, whose side are we on? Come on. It's a Western. Westerns are supposed to be, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy. Set that up quick and then take as long as you want. But it took ages to set that up.
Well, Westerns are probably the original place where you have that morality grey area, because everyone's just trying to survive. And these characters aren't good or bad, they just do bad things. And in so many sort of modern series now, it's, you know, the great stuff like The Wire is that sort of, almost that Western thing where these are just people getting by and good people doing bad things and bad people doing good things and all that. And that's great. That's where TV is so good at the moment, when you have time to explore those
areas in Westerns. I mean, they bucked the trend of Westerns perhaps later on, but the whole attraction of a Western was that you had cowboys and Indians, that you had good
guys. There was a point where it was probably just pure propaganda, wasn't there? But
probably, but that's the joy of it, is like, we have a town that needs protecting from some people who are coming in. The Three Amigos is a great example of that.
I was immediately thinking Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. but those things are parodies of everything that come. And it's the joy of a game that is a sport, isn't it? A Western is a sport that goes, here are the rules, here are the teams. Yeah, you can back the bad guys if you want, but them over there, they're the bad guys. So, and now let the games begin. and it just seemed so long to get to that point. But you know,
yeah, well, you're just that, you're just. Yeah, I mean, you're bringing with you again, like, just an idea of a concept of what you want this to be. You've just got to...
I sat and watched it with open heart and open mind. That these things I'm just doing now on the podcast, I haven't previously thought of.
All right, well, finish it off. Let us know.
All right.
Finish it off.
I will.
I'm going to go and have a curry now.
Good idea. I'm going to go and eat. Yeah. Well, thanks very much. As usual, if you want to email us with your thoughts on anything or suggestions, studio@theboxsetpod.com. As we take a diversion again for The Walking Dead for the next few weeks, I'm afraid.
Sorry about that, Adam.
Time you
but while you're waiting, Jesus. While you're waiting, Adam, and anyone else, you can start watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon.
Is that any good?
It's very good. It's from the creator of Gilmore Girls, Howard, so you'd like it as well.
I can't believe you've just recommended The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Have you watched it?
I've not got around to it yet, but I'm currently watching Bunheads, which was her second series after the Gilmore Girls. Not very good. I mean, it's all right, but it's not Gilmore Girls. Get back on Gilmore Girls, for God's sake.
I'll throw this in, seeing as I won't be able to speak to you again for however long The Walking Dead takes. I have stopped watching The Walking Dead.
No, oh dear.
Just got bored.
You and a few others, perhaps.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, there we go.
Not great.
Oh,
overrated.
Also,
putting that out there.
Keep an eye on studio@theboxsetpod.com and on our Twitter feed, because we're introducing the opportunity for you to purchase T-shirts.
Yeah.
Of what?
Well, of TV series. So we may design some T-shirts ourselves or get some designers to design them. But also things that we talk about, we're going to take the pick of our favourite T-shirts in the world and put them on there. And if you support them, you will be supporting this podcast, which makes entirely a loss. So that would be wonderful. If you could, you know, if we can break even, that would be great.
I'm paid by the word, yeah?
Oh, God.
We don't have that cash.
Because I've got some thoughts about that, but I'd like to share with the one.
Right. Thank you. Thank you both.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and see you next week for The Walking Dead.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.